Hey guys, welcome to the Lifetime Athlete Podcast. I'm your host, John Zombro. This is episode number 119. So first of all, I'd like to say I hope this podcast finds everyone safe and well. We're all taking things one day at a time right now in light of this COVID-19 pandemic. The interwebs are flooded with information about isolation, training at home, nutrition, and mindset. All of that is great. And we've done some of those things here on the podcast as well. And today, I would like to chat briefly about an eternal concept, one that was made popular by Paul, George, John, and Ringo, that we all can get by with a little help from our friends. And speaking of friends, PK, the sensational, amazing, and awesome co-host here with me today. How you doing, brah?
I am doing good, Jay-Z. I am doing well. No complaints on this end of the line.
How about this weather?
Well, you know what? I mean, yesterday, spring, maybe the end of winter. I don't know if it's officially spring or not in Southwest Montana. Yesterday was maybe like sunny 60. People are raking their yards. Today there's 4 inches of fresh snow sitting on my porch. So, I mean, just this is what it's like as winter reluctantly gives way to spring and we have a bit of the mud. So that's what's happening in my house.
Yeah. Is it wing? Is it sprinter? I don't know. But yeah, I think it was a beautiful sunny day and then a high wind day. And now we have a snow day. So who knows what the next one will be, although I think the forecast suggested several of these snow days. And I'll take it. I'll just take what it gives me and not invest too much emotion into it because I've found over the years that that is a futile endeavor.
Absolutely. Yeah, the complaining or really – you know, letting the weather affect your mood is one of the things that if you get into that trap, you are just a slave to the sunrise. You're just going to be all over the map.
Yeah. And keeping with today's title, you know, get by with a little help from my friends. I get by with a little help from my friend, or I get by with a little help from PK, from PK.
Wow.
Hey, good morning. Wow. Yeah.
Having you sing my name is perhaps the greatest gift I've ever been given.
Oh my.
It's funny though, because I mean, get by with a little help from your friends. Two times I was, texting with some friends yesterday or, some friends of mine, conversations unfolding. And on two separate occasions, two different people mentioned just how nice it would be able to get a hug. And in both times, so it happened at the same day, a couple hours apart, and I thought, man, speaking of friends, but we also, hugs from your friends. Who knew that we were taking hugs for granted, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think the reverse distancing eventually is going to be closenessing or, approximating or whatever the right term is. My vocabulary is a little weak today. But yeah, I think we need to make sure that we get back to that value of human touch and relationships. But for now, we're in the virtual world and
sure.
That's better than nothing. I'll have to say that.
Oh, absolutely. And I think there's just the idea, both of the thoughts were an appreciation for something. It's not like it wasn't appreciated before, but we didn't quite know how essential that was. Now everyone, is hopefully staying safe, as you said, smart, calm, being a good global citizen because we are all in this together. And so it is, it's kind of a time for that.
Yeah. And as I mentioned, when we got rolling, one day at a time, that's really true that, that we don't have any other choice than to do that maybe ever in life. But now that's very much at the forefront of our cerebrum. Hey, how about this? Also, all you need is a little patience. So thanks Guns N' Roses for helping us get through the pandemic.
Back when, what was that, Appetite for Destruction? When did that drop? 92?
It's been a while.
Axl Rose was just the perfect example of, reasonable thinking. Who knew that song was going to be the anthem for wise decision making. You know what? 20. What was it? That'd make it 28 years later. He was ahead of his time, Max.
Yeah, isn't it interesting how we can reinterpret things as we move along? And I'm fairly sure that maybe Axl Rose wasn't an exceedingly wise sage at that time. I don't want to sell him short, but hey, whatever.
Are you kidding me? You don't even you want to take the middle ground. I don't know if he was. I'm sure he sang that song and then went back to the hotel and threw a couch out the window. You know, I mean, he was not a wise sage. I'm going to put my foot down. I feel comfortable saying that. You don't have to.
Yeah, there was probably some white powder involved, and I'm not thinking it was flour. So moving right along. So today I would like to talk about give.
Give, okay.
Yeah, you know, maybe make that a song, G-I-V-E. It maybe has already been done, but I'm not aware of it. But right now is an important time that we are making ourselves available to give, to help our circle of fam and peeps.
Yeah, talk to me more.
Well, I think, you know, kind of as you alluded to when we got started, it's important to be prudent right now with the things that we need to do to protect public health. But we don't need to let distancing and infection control turn us into paranoid hermit bubble boys or girls.
No, I agree that we don't. So what do you think that means in, you know, the end of March 2020? What are you thinking that it means to give?
Well, I think my message is never would I be advising anyone to be idiotic or take unnecessary risks. But beyond compliance, which we all need to do, we've got to start thinking about, or keep thinking, should I say, about, hey, how do we continue to make this world a better place? And so sometimes that might mean we've got to make ourselves available to give some help to someone, whether that's, hey, shoveling your snow, if let's say you needed that today, and certainly that can be done without increasing exposure risk.
Sure.
You know, and things like that. So that's just my reminder, both to myself and to maybe all of our listeners, beyond some of the things we often talk about is, hey, let's make sure that we don't get so wrapped up in these cocoons, if you will, that we somehow can't see the need to help our friends.
Sure. And I would say that I have witnessed that just in my personal network of that, the desire to give whatever you can. Maybe that's just, you know, half of a 15-minute phone call with a friend that or an acquaintance or a family member. You know, in my case, it's been some friends where it's just calling, and you know, you're not you know, giving a special gift, but you're participating in that exchange. So I just think that it can take a different form. Certainly, you know, I think that this is a time where nourishment can be scarce, so you do see some really good examples of people giving in the form of funds to food banks, and you can do that safely, you know, via the internet, et cetera, to places in your area. One pretty cool example that I saw here in Montana is, you know, a network of sewers, people who sew in fabric stores, and people who have fabric giving, you know, making masks, like hand making masks that are being given to the medical community. So I thought that was a pretty innovative and really cool idea from a group that could actually provide something that saw a need, and they all got together. So I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're surrounded by that, and people being creative and saying, hey, you know, how you doing? What do you need? How can I help you?
Sure.
I think we are blessed in many ways to have that, but also, hey, let's keep doing it. That's really my thought.
And Jay-Z, you've given us twice, even on this, you know, the brief beginning of this podcast, two amazingly just delicate and beautiful songs that you've sung. You know, I mean, how lucky are we?
You dog. So next thing I would say, and I'm not trying to move along too quickly, or maybe I am. Ask. And so what I mean by that is, okay, don't be shy about asking for help when you need it, because we're all going to need probably some help. And we really, it's just an amazing thing to get over whatever I might have to ask you for help, for example, and then to have you, you know, hear that. It's important that we do this as humans.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that, I don't know, the vulnerability that comes with asking for help. I mean, personally, you know, like the past week I've been under the weather, actually with just a, you know, regular old cold. And, you know, so I had to ask for some help to, you know, to get my, my little dog some exercise and to have some supplies dropped off. And, you know, there is something in that. I don't know if there's a regular barrier. I don't know if it was hard or if it wasn't, but it was certainly something that I needed to do. And that's just my own like little sliver there in my own small little world. But yeah, sometimes it can be tough.
Yeah, there's a chance for joy when we can get over the resistance to ask. And sure. I think also help it can take many forms. And so it can be those physical things like you described, like dropping off some groceries or other items or other favors. But help can also be advice or even a conversation. You know, hey, just let's connect and let's talk about you know, whatever. And that has such value anytime, but particularly at this time.
Absolutely. And I have to thank you, Jay-Z, because I asked you for the week off last week and you helped me out by just, you know, giving me some time and you just soloed it.
You know, so, boss spelled backwards, double S-O-B. Oh, man. All right. So next one I've got. So we talked very briefly about giving, about asking. Now it's receiving.
Tell me.
So, you know, so let's say that you are Joe Montana and I'm Jerry Rice.
Okay. So we're in a completely amazing, actually, you know what? Can we switch it around? Because as a third grader, I remember I wanted to be Jerry Rice. I even made a little poster. He was my favorite player. Can I be Rice?
Sure, and
you be Montana?
Yeah, what a great honor. I think that,
I agree, by the way.
I think they both made Wheaties boxes. So that's, you know, that's
always. Of
course
always, they did. Legends. Yeah. And
here's another thing, too. You know, talk about being a lifetime athlete. You know, Jerry Rice is probably, he probably is displaying some of the best athletic longevity of any former NFL player. You know, if you've seen him recently, he's fit, he's athletic, he's healthy. And that's, you know, unfortunately not something that always happens to, you know, aging NFL players. So, you know, obviously there could have been some things that happened during his career, especially when you look at the issues with head trauma that we have, but also just the practices that Jerry Rice, he's the man.
Legend. He was shown, you know, catching passes before the Super Bowl. And he was a legendary workout guy and hard worker as well.
It always has to be that way. You know, talent will get you so far, but work ethic goes the rest of the way, all the way. So on task, you know, I think it's important that when we receive, we accept with grace and appreciation, like you now as Jerry Rice soaring across the end zone over a defender, tactfully, you know, with precision, capturing the ball and then somehow managing to land on your feet. Wow.
I mean, yeah, you're right. It's pretty amazing.
So, you know, I think I got way too far into that, but, so really when we're receiving it, it's a chance, you know, to go ahead and accept this beautiful, thing that we have in our human existence, you know, that we're talking about. And I'd also say we want to receive, this time that we have, you know, I'm not the biggest Pollyanna silver cloud guy, but I'm going to say this. This is a chance for reflection, for learning, for study, for practice, kind of stepping outside of the normal pace of things and really making our existence perhaps more narrow and deep as opposed to broad and shallow.
Absolutely. I think that there's a great argument to be made that if you lead a busy life, and like many of us did prior to this, you know, sort of lockdown and reduction, significant reduction, quarantine, that, you know, that was a way to stay busy and perhaps distracted, if you want to use that word. And this really is a time where you can't go to that. You don't have that tool in your tool chest. So I think it is a moment where, you know, if you've said, I want to read more, or, you know, I have been meaning to fill in the blank on this creative project, or I want to study something. I think there's a huge opportunity here. And, you know, that the idea that we just need to sit down and do something and use that time, not even necessarily productively, but creatively, or, you know, sort of experimentally, if you're talking about working on some artwork or a craft project or tinkering away or, you know, picking up something new. I think it's a real opportunity personally.
Yeah. And I love that concept of concentrating and minimizing multitasking and distraction and focusing and doing deep work. And I really think this opportunity or time period may lend itself to us to do such things. And there's almost some irony in all of this, because for a number of years, I've been trying to work on being less busy but more productive.
Yeah. And you're a pretty productive guy.
I want to be. Obviously I can be, you know, there's always room for improvement and progress, but, you know, and so that, not being a jerk, trying not to be a jerk. And so I'm a joker, and sometimes I get misinterpreted, but, you know, people who are usually very well-meaning, I'll run into them, especially over the last few years, and they'll say, are you keeping busy? And sometimes just in conversation, you know, I'll just say, yeah, you know, sure. You know, I'm not sure we need to go too far into that. But then for other people who are, you know, genuinely interested in discussing that point, I'd answer no. Right now, or, you know, especially over the last few years of my life, I have found a way to become half as busy as I once was, but twice as productive.
So are you saying that you're almost even a little offended by the question? Are you staying busy, or just the banter, the patter, or just that, the idea of it?
No, certainly not offended, but just
annoyed.
And not even that, but just in a way to try to clarify, as I started learning more about productivity and really studying that both through ergonomics and psychology and some other things, and using it in work, you know, what I really found was, gosh, we've got these finite abilities to concentrate and focus and produce high output in these blocks or chunks. And I said, okay, I'm going to start doing that more. And so instead of having these day-long grinds where I would jump into the washing machine and just get churned for, you know, 12 hours often, most of the time, that's not the case now. And so I have these precision surgical strikes where, you know, I work on one thing like hell and try to get it done well. And then I have these short recoveries, and then I do some more. And so that's what I've been doing. Now, where am I going with all of this? Because we were talking about these opportunities now during the pandemic to maybe do nothing and relax and meditate some, yes, but also when we do work to really get into this reflection, or, you know, reflective opportunity or focus, mindfulness. I would say that right now I'm getting close to being busy, you know, as far as, well, I'm still productive, but I'm doing so much online work in physical therapy and coaching secondary to the circumstances that I'm kind of right at the limit of what I I want to have, you know, in my day to maintain balance and sanity as a human, while at the very same time trying to make sure I'm helping and servicing as many people as I can.
I mean, that's, you know, you charted a course and you're just doing what you're doing what's best for you. You got a plan.
Yeah. And I'm amazed because now, you know, I'm talking about helping my friends,
sure,
getting help from them, but also giving help to my friends. So on this professional level, I'm doing that work with clients. Yes. But I've also updated my colleague support that I'm providing. So I have a package that I offer for physical therapists. You know, it's called Online Physical Therapy, a guide to developing a telehealth physical therapy practice. And one of the reasons I set that up was because, you know, when this sort of became something to do 5 years ago, you know, I was on board for whatever reason. And, now we're at a point where everybody is scrambling and needs to get on board, wants to get on board. So what I have is a practice to practice webinar. Mm-hmm. And an ebook that's a resource that to help, you know, other physical therapists get some knowledge nugs that I've learned through experience. So I've made some mistakes, of course, to help with this current problem. How can we do a good job in getting online service out to the public? And then what are, you know, obviously, you know, how do you set that up? What are the regulatory issues? How do you fine tune it and make it an awesome experience? So that's what I've been working on. And it is, it's a ramble fest here for me, but it's amazing because, you know, people need service. You know, let's say you were removed, and I've talked about this on the show, somebody who's been in rehab for something, but suddenly that got cut off. Well, now they need to find a way to have continuity, or something new is happening. You need to seek care, physical therapy care, speaking specifically towards, we need to have systems set up quickly for that. And then also physical therapists, not only do they need to meet this demand, but they and serve this kind of business opportunity, use of tech, but they need to stay alive financially. I mean, keep practices afloat. If all of a sudden you don't have a waiting room full of people to work with in the clinic, your staff is home, you're at home, we've got to find ways to help these professionals stay viable so that eventually they're still in the marketplace a few months from now.
Yeah, John, and this is something that I know that I missed last week, and I was actually kind of upset about it because this is a great thing that you're doing, you know, and the reasons that you did it and you were an early adopter were for yourself, efficiency, etc. But the sort of what I'm witnessing that there's a wide variability, and especially in that PT community. I can give you a couple examples or stories from my life. My folks who, again, live here in town, they do a, you know, like a little core fitness class, right? And, you know, this would be 3 weeks ago now, sort of like right after the Rudy Gobert NBA shutdown. That was kind of like the the moment in time, the earmark, I think, when things got serious and real in a way that before they weren't. And so, you know, you go in and do this like core fitness on mats as a class. It's a, you know, a fitness class. And within 2 days, their instructor had figured out how to do it via Zoom. So do it remotely. And I thought, oh, that's cool. That's adaption. That's a way to, just as you said, keep the business going for this instructor in this fitness class, and then still safely provide the service to the people that need it to stay healthy and fit and happy and, you know, receive what they're giving. So everybody wins in that situation. And so I think that's a good example of adaptability. One bad example that really personally irritated me was my father's recovering from a surgery, and there was a physical therapist, we don't need to name any names here, that was basically like, I need you to come in. And you know, I had a conversation with my dad and I was like, I don't think you should do that. And he said, well, they don't know how to do it. They actually, you know, I said, can we do it remotely? And they, and you know, this physical therapist said, I don't know how to, I'm not set up to do that. And so I need you to come in. And I just felt like that was a really irresponsible thing to put out there. And so not only is it smart, it's good for business, it's good for the patients, the clients, but it's also, you know, it's more safe. So those are my two touch points and why I'm like passionately in support of what you're doing. And I think that it's professionally, I think it's a lot of insight that you can bring in a way that benefits everyone, but in particular, the clients.
Well, thank you. And I think it's really an interesting thing. I want to continue to provide these services, and I'm doing a lot of coaching, peak performance type work, as well as physical therapy online. I've had those things in my model for years, but it's a really interesting evolution that we've seen, because when, you know, this whole telehealth model got rolling, and it had been in existence for quite a while, with physicians doing certain things like calling people and calling in prescriptions, you know, that, but then ultimately. It became more, when we had video-based services, it became, I think, more legit. Well, it first started out to try to, again, help people who had access issues in rural areas, had to travel long distances to get to appointments, or other hardships that, you know, limited their ability to have access. And it was smart, you know. And then, of course, I saw that and I thought, well, gosh, this also is just a harnessing of simple and common technology that we have to make things more efficient and economical for folks. So I, that's why I got into it. I said, not to replace, sometimes you do need those direct contact brick and mortar applications, but you know, that's what I've been going along. And so trying to, you know, promote that and to some extent, maybe even convince people of the value. Now, all of a sudden in crisis mode, it, you know, is the only option. And now everybody is kind of waking up. It's like, oh, yeah. And so my hopes are that, you know, when things, and they eventually will, you know, kind of fade down, we still have this this awareness like, oh, I can do some of my things through, you know, an online capacity and ultimately, you know, have great outcomes, but also saves that time, money, energy, efficiency, load on the healthcare system, all sorts of things like that.
Yeah, I completely agree. And, you know, that's the long picture, the long view. And in the near term, the immediate terms, in terms of just, you know, survival or subsistence or thriving under these conditions that are extremely unusual, I think it could be the impetus to, you know, expand that quiver and to really think about what's best for the patient. And it can happen remotely. And that's something that you've learned through trial and error and putting, you know, for half a decade, John. So I just think that it's not theoretical. It can be done. It is done. You do it. And it can be done at a high level.
Yeah. And I want to help everyone succeed.
Sure.
Because that's the world we should be living in. And so I'm providing my ebook, A Guide to Developing a Telehealth Physical Therapy Practice, to all of my colleagues, complimentary. You know, I really want to see this be done well, and I want to see people succeed, both, you know, patients, clients, and colleagues. So that's what I'm doing. And I just think it's the right thing to do given the circumstances.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So if you're, you know, I'm going to do a plug for you. If you're a patient out there and you, you want to, patient or client, I don't know the terminology. If basically, if you're in the receiving end of services and, you know, you don't want to leave your house, then John's a resource for that as well. Or if you're a provider and you want to learn more, there's ways for you to learn from this and engage with John on that.
Yeah, thanks, PK. And also, you know, for clients, you know, I'm getting near waitlist capacity. So if I, you know, if you reach out to me and things don't look right for your timeline, I can certainly refer you to other qualified professionals. So that makes sure we have that available. Moving along about, you know, helping friends and giving out some things, I just wanted to offer up some very brief shall we call it food advice, advice during our times of isolation.
Absolutely. And I'm guessing here, I'm just sort of crystal ball. I'm guessing your suggestion is going to be eat your feelings, really get into that ice cream. No, sorry.
Oh my. There's so many ways, you know, there's like seven rabbit holes you just opened up, and it's hard for me to resist diving into things like, you know, cravings and addiction and metabolic dysregulation and all that sort of thing, but I won't. So for the most part, I think we still have a reasonable amount of food availability, maybe not toilet paper, but food. Access issues, getting there safely and back, and some economic hardships are here. So I've just got a few ideas about food that I might share. First of all, is to be a little bit creative and flexible, however you want to interpret that. But maybe when you go to the store or you look in the refrigerator or cupboard or pantry, the things you normally eat or want to eat aren't there. So how can we just be creative? And I'm not saying exactly what to do, but it's like, oh, okay, how can I make meals that are going to be nutritious and enjoyable, but also, that are a little bit flexible because I don't quite have the same ingredients that I always rely upon.
I think it's fantastic. I think that, you're at home, which and a lot of us are, then, it's kind of like you're eating your own cooking. So you have a chance to get a little creative and flexible. I like that.
Yeah. I've got a quick Fast Freddy story. So people on the show have heard about my buddy Fast Freddy down in Arizona, and he's just a legend. So he has this 120-pound giant of an English bulldog.
Wow.
whose name is Winston. He's a wonderful, charming fellow, very regal.
120. He must be like a giant just block of concrete.
Yeah, he is. He's got shoulders like, it's just amazing. That dog could he could walk through walls if he knew. He could if he, I don't think he knows he can, but anyway.
120 pounds. Wow.
Yeah. And Freddie feeds Winston, like an animal-based diet. So Winston's not really a kibble eater. He eats a lot of meat. And even though he eats across the spectrum of the meat counter, Winston, he prefers chicken. He's a chicken-loving fellow.
Oh, he prefers chicken then.
Yeah. So here's the crazy thing is that, Winston lives a charmed life, so every day on Freddie's route, home from work, he goes by Costco and he picks up a rotisserie chicken. And that's what Winston has for dinner.
No way.
Yeah. Yeah. And Winston can eat the entire, I've seen it many times. He can eat the entire rotisserie chicken in like 90 seconds.
Does he eat the bones and everything?
Crunch, crunch, crunch. It's gone.
He eats the bones. Oh my. Talk about hitting the dog lottery. Winston, your life could have been very different, my friend.
Well, there's a lot of talk about, evolutionary or ancestral diets for humans as well as animals, but nonetheless, this is what's happening. And, Freddie had being flexible back to the topic, he had been driving past Costco, but with the 6 foot distance and also the things are going on, the line was out the door and wrapping all the way around the parking lot. And he thought, probably not going to get that he calls him Winnie today. So Winnie's not going to get his rotisserie chicken, but he didn't want to disappoint him. So he stopped by the carniceria, the local meat counter, and he picked up 15 pounds of marinated chicken. And they feasted that night on chicken tacos.
Oh boy. Well, first of all, that sounds... The marinated chicken sounds far superior, certainly a little bit more work there, but there are so many interesting wrinkles and sides to that story. I just, I don't think I can ask questions. Otherwise we might be here all day.
Yeah. I just wanted to it just occurred to me because we just talked about the other, but okay. So here's this thing now, like when we have things like this happen, whether we're talking about like in the previous thing, okay, now we've got this telehealth model really going strong, but let's sort of keep it in place for the future for the applications where it works best. Same's true for the chest freezer. And we've been on the show talking, now I guess almost for several years about the value of the chest freezer and how it can help your nutrition and your budget. And so that's really what I'd like to bring up.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, I think that that's deep. That's a deep topic.
Yeah. I mean, it depends on whether it's an upright or the, you know, the kind that would be deep that you okay. but my whole point would be, look, I'm very respectful of everyone. And certainly for some people it's not viable because of space or economics, but you know, for most people, you can find on Craigslist even, or at a lot of your local home stores, an Energy Star freezer for just a couple $100s. It lasts for years. It costs only a few bucks to run for the entire year, so you know that doesn't use much electricity, and it pays for itself within the first year because you can have that freezer, and then when the foods that you like are on sale, you know, you can't do that now. You can only get two per, you know, per family, but, you know, you can load your freezer up. And so both, you know, the cost savings you get by buying in bulk whenever you can, and then, you know, having it there. So you're even cutting down on the cost of grocery store trips, at least for those frozen products. Really, it's just a wonderful thing. So I would say, hey, bummer, you know, if you didn't hear our messages and didn't take them seriously, I'm not going to beat down on you too much right now, but when we see a recovery, give it some consideration. Not so much for being like a Uber prepper and ready for things. I'm not so much of that thought, but just to have lots of good nutritious food that you and your family love on hand at a cost savings.
I tell you what, it's wise. It's wise. And I like how you said that, you know, just kind of earmark that thought for later. You have some time to think about it and perhaps, you know, take action when things return to a semblance of normalcy.
I don't know why I've got another story, but I can't help myself today.
Don't.
Had a guy this morning, got some messages from a client, working with in some different capacities for quite a while now. And he's like, oh man, the online meat supplier, you know, the meat dropper, I won't use names, there's several of them out there, lots of them actually. Well, they're on a back order and I'm not going to, you know, da, da, da. And I said, well, you know, he said, what are your suggestions? I said, well, you know, at this point, you know, do the best you can. Maybe you can search out and find another distributor that's going to help you. Or again, the local stores, you know, you have to keep up on that. But he said to me, he's like, and he said it this way, dude, he's like, dude, I should have listened to you months ago when you told me to get the chest freezer. And I was like, eh, whatever. You're still awesome. Let's just.
Yeah. Yeah. But I mean, that's a, you know, this is a, in this moment of reflection, I think we're all sort of saying, well, what can I have, how could I have prepared a little better for this? Anyone that sort of nailed it outside of, you know, you, Jay-Z, because you're an all-star, there's room for improvement.
I'm not sure that I want to be known as a work in progress,
Oh, okay.
But sure. But then, you know, a lot of these health enthusiasts, fitness enthusiasts, you know, sure, they have chest freezers, but they've got them filled up with water and they're doing cold dunks in them, which has another value all its own as well. So lots of things to talk about that you could use your chest freezer for. But if I quit and say, how am I going to wrap the show up today? Giving some help to my friends. Mm-hmm. Thank you. If you're still with us, listeners, you are friends. So maybe a couple simple training tips.
Let's hear it.
Okay. So we've been inundated and in a good way, you know, by some really cool people. Like, hey, you know, here's some workouts that you can do with body weight at home, or here's just some ideas how you can modify your training, which I've put out. You can, here's some simple things you can do to set up a home gym, different levels of cost. You know, we've done that, other people, you know, and all those things are good, but I'm going to say we need to take a look at a phrase regarding training. And of course it's just do it, or in other words, just keep doing it.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you're just saying, just maintain, just keep it going.
Yeah, definitely, like talking about maintenance or deloading phases. But what we don't want to do is not keep training. We want to keep training moderate. But if we, you know, get a little bit despondent and quit, well, okay, now we're starting to, you know, ultimately compromise potentially immunity and long-term health and fitness, and we don't have to do it. There's always a way to create the win.
Absolutely.
So now my next really out on, you know, sticking it out there. So any listener, like if you're listening and you need some help, you want some input to figure out what to do, you know, like, you know, this is my circumstances. What might you recommend? Just ask me. So there we are, you know, ask and give and receive. It's all coming together. So if you contact me at john@thelifetimeathlete.com, I mean, if I get 1,000 people, I have to figure out how to deal with that, and I will. That'll be my problem. I'll really have to look at the productive versus busy discussion, but we'll figure out what to do. You know, what do you have? What do you want? What do you need? What can you do? How do you create the win? And we'll either come up with something to do that maybe you'll let me share on the show, or even you'll come on, you know, as a listener and say, oh, you know, this is what we did. And, and I survived this period. So that's what I'd like to do, you know, kind of, you know, really reach out to the tribe and say, you know, I'm here if you need me, and would love to help.
Love it. Absolutely. So again, you know, the man said it, he just said, just ask me. And so it's out there, john@thelifetimeathlete.com. Send him a note if you find yourself in that situation.
And as we said at the beginning, hey, one day at a time, just a little patience, and we'll get through this thing together. We're going to try occasionally, you know, PK and I, we're going to offer some pandemic specific tidbits, but we're also going to get back to our queue of I lose sleep over these things. I get so many of them, of great topics in performance training and rehabilitation. I've got information about foot function and pronation to update, stress fractures, plantar fasciitis, and training for speed. All that's coming up. I can't wait, and I hope the same is true for you guys. So as always, I'd say, hey, thank you for being with us. Stay safe, stay healthy, and peak performing. Until next time, this is PK and Jay-Z signing off from The Lifetime Athlete, where you can get and stay hard to kill.